When I was training for ministry, I was taught that a good illustration in a sermon is like a window that sheds light on the topic, allowing people to see the truth more clearly. But finding a good illustration is something that I often struggle with. Sadly, today I have no difficulty finding an illustration for this message. The war in Ukraine is a clear illustration of selfish earthly wisdom. The shedding of innocent blood, the destruction of cities, the most vile bombing of a maternity hospital are clear examples of extreme disorder that results from selfish earthly wisdom. James states, "Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly and spiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every kind of evil practice." And the selfish ambition of one powerful man and the earthly wisdom of his close advisers has led to this war in Ukraine and brought suffering upon his own people, the people in Russia, and brought the whole world to the brink of war. It pains my heart to see the vain glory of man inflicting such suffering upon the world. Well, today in our passage from the letter of James, we come to the topic of wisdom. And James speaks about two types of wisdom. In the bulletin this week, I put a little table so that you could see the different aspects of that. Heavenly wisdom, the true wisdom, enriches life. Earthly wisdom, a fake wisdom, false wisdom, has corrosive effects on life. This is true not simply on the world stage, but in our own homes and in our own families. Heavenly wisdom, which enriches life, is noted by a good life, humble service, purity, being peace-loving, considerate, submissive, merciful, fruitful, impartial, sincere, and righteous. On the other hand, earthly wisdom, with its corrosive effects, are seen in bitterness, envy, selfish ambition, the sense that it is unspiritual, demonic, that it brings disorder and is seen with evil. As you read through this passage in James, at the end of these verses on wisdom, he gives this proverb: "Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." And I wonder how James might have summed up earthly wisdom in a proverb. Perhaps warmongers who sow disorder reap a harvest of destruction. So in our passage today, James is focusing on wisdom which promotes peace. He does this because he is about to address conflict in the church, and we will come to that next week, where he asks, "What causes fights and quarrels among you?" At least in part, conflict in the church that he was writing to, had arisen because they were being influenced by the earthly wisdom of false teachers. And it's helpful to see where James is taking this conversation on wisdom to be able to address and bring healing to those areas where earthly wisdom has wreaked havoc upon the people of this church. It's helpful to see that the wisdom that he's speaking about is not ethereal, a spiritual concept that's just out there and lost, but that it is something that is intensely practical and seen in the way we live our lives. Wisdom, earthly, heavenly wisdom, or a lack of wisdom, is shown by its fruit and is evident in the way that people live. So James asks, who is wise among you? Let them show it. Who is wise among you? Let them show it by their good life that comes from wisdom. Earthly wisdom had led the people in the church that James is writing to discriminate against the poor, to be judgmental, and to withhold help from the needy. This earthly wisdom had resulted in conflict. So James is reminding them about wisdom that comes from God, a heavenly wisdom. This wisdom would lead them to become peacemakers. Now, I don't for a moment think that we at Greyfriars are involved in the type of conflict that James is trying to address. Nevertheless, there are things that we can learn about wisdom from him that are helpful for our church. Just consider our situation. In the last 2 years, we have faced difficulties from COVID-19, hospitals stretched to the limit, businesses struggling for survival. We have been through the lockdowns, and now we find, as in much of the rest of the world, there is rampant inflation, meaning that the poorer families among us are really struggling just to meet their day-to-day costs. Added to this, we have the global tensions with the war in Ukraine. And all of this taken together mean that we are at a moment in history, in world history, in the history of our nation and the history of our church, where we need heavenly wisdom. And I invite you all to pray for the wisdom that our church needs. Wisdom as we make our way through this maze of life that is before us. Because I think that you will know, it will resonate with you, that we do need a humble, peace-loving wisdom to heal the wounds that are among us from what we have experienced in the last 2 years, and wisdom to rebuild our church family life, and wisdom to be able to reconnect with the community that is around us. We require wisdom to be able to help those who have practical needs and those who have spiritual needs. Our recent experiences with the pandemic, the state of our world in conflict, simply highlight for us how much that wisdom is needed. And in our passage today, we find that James returns to this topic of wisdom, which he had introduced at the very beginning of the letter. As he began the letter, he spoke about the troubles the people in the church were facing, and he said, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." And then he moved on quickly in the light of those troubles to say, "If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Of course, when we are in the midst of troubles or suffering, we find it hard to look beyond our pain. And we may wonder, has God abandoned us? Has God given up on us? And at times like these, we really do need the perspective of godly, heavenly wisdom. James states, the biblical path to wisdom is to ask God for wisdom, knowing that he will give it to us generously. Some might say, I have asked God for wisdom, and it appears he hasn't given me any. But then I must ask you, friend, do you have a Bible? If so, you have God's wisdom at your fingertips. There's a whole section in the Bible that we refer to as the wisdom books. Our problem is not that we don't have God's wisdom, but that many do not read it or apply it in their lives. The purpose of Proverbs is stated at the outset. It is written for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Just pause for a moment and consider the benefits of wisdom that the writer of Proverbs is listing for us. It brings understanding. It helps us to be prudent in our behavior, helps us to gain discretion, guides us so that the things that we do are right and just and fair. And it goes on to say that even those who are wise can become wiser by studying the Proverbs. So how do we gain this godly wisdom? Primarily, it comes from a relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you care to look in the Bible, you will find verses that link God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to this gift of wisdom. Typically, Paul says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better." And so we find that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the fount of wisdom that we need to be able to live our lives in ways that are fair and right and just. And with that relationship in place, there are two ways that we can grow in wisdom. One, as we have already mentioned, is that wisdom can be found in the Scriptures. God's Word will become a light to our path. And if we have a grasp of the wisdom that God has given to us through the Scriptures, then when we are in situations where wisdom is needed, God can use that to quicken it to our hearts and remind us of things we have read so that we can have wisdom in a variety of different situations. And secondly, the fullness of wisdom that God has gifted to us is in the relationship that we have with others in our church family. As our church family, we learn wisdom together. You might, when you ask God for wisdom, find that he reminds you of someone in the church family who loves you, who will listen to you, and who will give you godly wisdom, godly advice. In our church family, we find really it is a repository of wisdom. Here, many of our older people have walked this path of righteousness with God over decades and learned wisdom from him through their lives. But you don't need to be old to be wise. Many young people shine with wisdom as they learn and apply biblical truths to their lives. In a sense, they find themselves becoming wise beyond their years. So James reminds us, God gives wisdom generously to those who ask. But to really grasp this, we need to take hold of two basic Christian truths. The first is this: God is for you. This is a great truth that we need to take to heart. God is for you. Dwell in that truth. Wear it like a cloak. Pull it around your shoulders and take comfort in the warmth of knowing God is for you. And secondly, God is for the church. And take that to heart as well. The church is Christ's beloved. We together in the church are loved by God. The words of the old hymn speak of the church, saying, "From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. And this is the truth of God's love for us. Not so much that God is on our side, but that God has taken us to his side. So we can take his hand and enjoy his presence. As Paul wrote, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And those all things that he is willing to give us includes this godly, heavenly wisdom that we need for our lives. So taken together, God is for us and God is for the church. This means that God desires that you will be able to live the best possible life, and that as a church we will shine like a light on a hill. But how can this ever become the reality in our lives and in the church? It can happen because God invites us to benefit from the riches his wisdom brings to us, and he allows our lives to be shaped and transformed by that wisdom as we come to him. And so I ask you, what really is the desire of your heart for your life? What sort of life do you really want to live? What life do you want for your family and for the wider community? What do you want to be known for and known by? What do you want the reputation of the church to be in the community in which we live? This can be changed and shaped by the wisdom that God gives to us because he is for us. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, gave a list of attributes which are known as the fruit of the Spirit. In a similar way, in this passage from James, we read today what he lists as the fruit of wisdom. Look again at the way James describes wisdom that is from God, because it is shown by a good life of sincere, humble service. It is shown in a pure, merciful life, which is peace-loving. It is revealed in impartiality, humility, being submissive and considerate of others. And such a life results in a harvest of righteousness. Think about those things that I have just said, peace-loving, good, humble. It seems to me this is a description of the life of Jesus. Isn't James showing us the wisdom that was in Jesus' life as an example to us? In Jesus, we see his submission to God's will. We see in him the Prince of Peace who brought peace to humanity. We see one who is considerate of others, doing what is right and just and good throughout his life. His life was lived in the heavenly wisdom that comes from God. Imagine such a life. Imagine a church that reflected that life, shaped by heavenly wisdom. Well, what difference does this make to us? We have the choice of allowing our lives to be shaped by earthly wisdom or heavenly wisdom. One results in a harvest of evil, the other in a harvest of good. One leads to disorder, the other leads to peace. Imagine a life, imagine a church that is shaped by heavenly wisdom. And because of the good that can come from this, let us then ask God for heavenly wisdom, knowing he will give it to us generously. Today, I invite you to think of the wisdom we need as a church family here in Greyfriars at this unusual time in our history. As we learn to live with COVID, as we seek to rebuild our church family life, we're going to need the wisdom, the fruit of that wisdom, in order to flourish. Soon we hope to be able to gently ease back into on-site church life. And one of the things we will do in that time is to focus on social gatherings that enable us to reconnect with each other. Over the next few months, we will have things like a posh morning tea, Sunday fun day, soup and rolls, messy church, the things that can bring us together again. And as a first step towards this, I ask you to pray as James suggests. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Will you join me this week in praying for such wisdom in our lives and in our church? Will you pray for our church family, our church elders and staff, so that we have wisdom in the plans that we begin to make? And as we do so, let us look forward to the harvest of righteousness that will come from this as God works in us and as we shine as a light on the hill. All this to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.